With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Lead the fan podcast with Dan and Scott. Hottest golf podcast, whether you like it or not. Fresh from back in the day when Nessa played at the park. 7 p.m. special where they played after dark. From the birds to the focus to the losses and the win. Welcome podcast patron to the show. Lead the pen. Get busy golfing or get busy dying. Hottest golf podcast and I swear I ain't lying. Yeah. Leave the pen.
Welcome back, podcast patrons, to episode 202 of Leave the Pen podcast. As always, I'm your host, Dan. Got my co-host, Scott, and we got our special guest tonight, the owner of Acorn Hills Collegiate Golfer, Mr. Nate Wrenn. Nate, what is going on, my man?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. It's been a long time coming, but, you know, just got done with the test, like I told you there in backstage, and ready to crush this podcast.
Yeah, so what was the test in? What class was it?
It was corporate finance. It wasn't too bad. It was one of my major-related classes, so I passed. That's all that matters, you know, just doing good, so can't complain.
Yeah, that's all well and good, but what teacher schedules a test? What professor schedules a test on a Friday night?
Well, so here's the problem. It was an online test. I had him this morning. It was due at midnight, but I thought, well, maybe I'd go play nine holes today this afternoon. And the nine turned into 18, so I didn't get back until like 5. So it's a little bit on me, but I got it, you know, got it done.
Playing golf is a good excuse as any.
Of course.
Delaying a test there. Nate, why don't we start off? You and I have been in contact with each other for quite a while now on Instagram. Not only are you a collegiate golfer, but you own the company Acorn Hill. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But why don't you give people a little bit of a background on yourself, where you go to school, you know, the college that you play for. And kind of like growing up history in the game of golf, and we'll get people caught up to speed, and then we'll get into current day Nate the golfer as well as Nate the business owner.
Yeah. So, you know, as you said, my name is Nate, and right now I'm a junior at Mount Aloysius College in Crescent, PA. So it's about an hour, I'd say, from Penn State University, if you ever heard of Altoona, about 10 minutes from Altoona. But, you know, personally, I am from a little town called Kerbsville, PA. It's about an hour from here, but it's close to some big towns like Dubois and Clearfield, PA, some of the bigger towns in central PA. But, you know, growing up, just kind of the area, the nature of the beast that we live in central PA, there's not a lot of industry around. So, you know, growing up, high school was a lot of farms, feed stores, country kids and stuff. So I grew up on, you know, public courses and was self-taught and never had a lesson until I came to college golf. I played all throughout high school. And I, you know, my freshman year of high school wasn't the greatest, but I kind of taught myself, you know. And by the end of it, we only played 9 holes, but by the end of it, I finished my senior year. I think I averaged like 36 or 37 per 9 holes. And I came to college golf here at Mount Aloysius, and it was a learning curve because I never had a lesson. It was almost like reverse learning curves. How do I take this information and incorporate it into my swing? So the first couple of weeks of kind of having that lesson in my swing, you know, swing thoughts and everything was a struggle. My scores went through the roof freshman year. And I thought, wow, you know, I really contemplate, like, do I really want to play golf, you know? And it takes me to sophomore year. I kind of turned it around a little bit. And then, of course, in sophomore year is when I started the company. So I had to learn how to manage all my time and things like that. So that was another, you know, factor to throw into it. But then you fast forward to this junior year, it's almost like I finally have all the tools in my belt to succeed. You know, I've been around the block enough to know what to expect in these college events. But this season by far was the best season I had on record. So I can't complain. That's a little speed track into the past 15, 16 years of my life. So I'm 20 years old right now.
I think your time management skills must be absolutely insane. I mean, Scott and I always talk about possibly doing merch and stuff like that. And, you know, I don't even know. I couldn't even find the time in my life. You're in a little bit different situation being in college, but I think that makes it even more difficult. I mean, not only are you a student athlete that has to worry about their grades as well as golf, you know, but you're, I'm assuming, single-handedly running this company. How does that work? Do you have people with you?
Yeah, so, you know, I not to, I could ramble all night about what I do on campus, not to put myself on a pedestal, but I actually hold a job here on campus. I work for the marketing team with their digital marketing. They're like SEO and back-end stuff. And then sometimes I play the school mascot. Sometimes I give tours for the school. So I'm very involved here on campus. Once in a while, you'll see me, like I said, the mascot costume. They need a 6-foot male, about 185, and I seem to fit the part pretty good. So it's like a perfect dimension, perfect world. But, you know, using the time management skills, I really credit that to high school because I'd say 10th or 11th grade year was when I started kind of thinking about, okay, maybe I should go get a job and get a little extra money, you know, spending money. And my parents did the, you know, I was very fortunate to be like a middle-class family where if I wanted to work, I could. And if I didn't want to work, well, that'd be okay. And I chose the idea of working and really put myself out there. And I worked at Walmart for 3 years, and that was being a cashier and being online grocery. And it was funny because when COVID hit in 2020, I became one of the frontline workers. And, you know, I was constantly there managing my time with school because everything turned into remote, and then managing with work. And then, you know, I would go to school when everything opened back up. I would go at 6 a.m. to 3, more or less wearing a mask. And then from 4 to 10, I'd go to work wearing a mask. So for more than 12 hours a day, I was wearing a mask. And, you know, it was a struggle, but that's kind of where I developed those time management skills. So now, you know, I'm a full believer in Google Calendar. I have everything booked out by the hour on my Google Calendar. It keeps me on pace, but yeah, you know, time management was probably the most vital thing in this whole process, and it continues to build on top of that.
So one of the things that, you know, I guess initially attracted me to the company, is kind of like that outdoor ethos, right?
Yeah.
Which I think shines through in kind of all your apparel, you know, as well as the sport itself. You know, it's one of the sports that is ingrained in the outdoors. You play in the elements. Courses never play the same twice because of the weather conditions. Were you always a kid that loved being outside? You know, where I guess where I'm going with this is, where's the inspiration come from for Acorn Hills?
Yeah, and the simple answer is yes. Like, I've always been outside, you know, when I could, when the sun's shining, especially being in PA. So, you know yourself, the PA summer season is very limited at times. So, you know, you have to enjoy it while it's out there. But, you know, I always was obsessed with this idea of, you know, looking good. I always, for a very country-type kid, like to present myself very good. Whether that would be, you know, making sure my outfit's matched or, you know, just little details like that. And so I always was obsessed with clothing, more or less. I thought, well, there'd be, you know, an awesome idea to combine it someday, to combine golf and the outdoors and kind of my roots and the whole country aspect. And I thought, what better idea to, or what better time to do it than, you know, COVID, when COVID kind of was a thing. And I kind of shuffled my feet, and I really never did it. So I came here freshman year of college, and I was going to class, going to golf practice, and going back to my dorm. I was not involved whatsoever, not even close to what I am now. And I thought, you know, something's got to change here. I thought, it's either I transfer back home to a closer college just because I'm not involved, or, you know, I feel like almost isolated, or I put myself out there and take a risk and do it. So that's kind of where the inspiration for the whole company came, was kind of putting yourself out there, but also maintaining that kind of hominess, like roots that I've already established.
So, yeah, I was checking out your website before I called in here, and I was just curious because, again, I like a lot of the designs that you have on there. Like Dan said, I think it's like a really cool ethos. Do you have someone you work with for that, or you do all that yourself, or how's that work?
Yeah, so it depends on the design. Some of the polos I've freelanced. I try to freelance locally with graphic designers, but now being in college, I'm taking a couple of graphic design classes myself, trying to teach myself. But, you know, as if I can help another small business or small freelancer kind of grow themselves too, you know, that's what it's all about. And I don't know, you know, how close you looked at the company, but did you happen to look at the seed paper tag that I use? And I don't know if that's something maybe we can get into later. If you want me to talk about it now,
That's super cool because, you know, we live in an era of mass consumerism, right? I mean, dude, if you looked at my closet, it's overflowing with clothes. Like, there's not enough days in the year for me to wear that stuff. And some of it happens to be from companies that, you know, use recycled parts and things. But I think the further we move into, you know, the 2020s and beyond, and look, you know, regardless of what your, you know, political beliefs are, you can't contradict science. And, you know, global warming is a thing. So I think companies like you and other companies out there that are kind of forward thinking in how they not only produce clothing, but how they kind of give back to the environment become super important. So yeah, without a doubt, talk about that and talk about what, like what that does to your bottom line, because I know that that stuff is not cheap to produce and it's not cheap to do. It's just, it's like the, that old adage, right? If I want to get obese, that's super cheap for me to eat crap food. But if I want to be healthy, yeah, it costs a lot more for that to occur.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, just kind of start from square one is the seed paper tag is, like I said before in the kind of previous minutes, you know, I was obsessed with clothing growing up. So I spent a lot of my birthday money, Christmas money and stuff, you know, at Dick's Sporting Goods or at the pro shop or, you know, just somewhere where there was constant clothes. And for me, you know, I would go to these places and I would see these huge retailers and have so many products and so many designs. And, you know, on every seed paper or on every tag, they had a piece of plastic. And I thought, well, no one's really talking about that piece of plastic, you know? And it's like, well, what can be done with that? So that's kind of where the idea of seed paper came from. Is I, you know, personally, I did not come up with seed paper, but I kind of came up with the process. And, sorry, I just thought someone's knocking on the door at me. I thought, I don't know who that is. But I'm in a...
Believe me, we've had that happen before.
I was like, what the... But, no, in the seed paper tag itself, you know, I didn't come up with seed paper. But what it does is it allows these retailers that I've partnered with and these pro shops and the customer that once they get my product, they, instead of taking that piece of plastic and throwing it away and basically wasting that little tag, they can take that and plant it. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you have a green thumb. Personally, I never had a green thumb. But, you know, that's almost that tagline of I try to motto that look good, feel good, and do good. Because not only will this make you kind of feel great about yourself, but it's going to inspire other people. And no matter, even if for some reason the customer snipped that tag off and unknowingly it slipped their mind, they threw it away, somewhere down the line at some landfill, that tag's going to get in the ground. You know, it's inevitable. And, you know, you're saying about my bottom line is, yeah, it raises the, like, no doubt, undoubtedly, it raises the price a little bit. But, you know, I'm offering a quality purpose there. It's worth it to me. And, you know, it sounds great. And, you know, helping the earth, and like, I preach it, but it's like, what do I do on my end? So then, additionally to that, I partner with the National Forest Foundation. And every item that's ordered on my website, I will donate a portion of the sales to them, partner with them, and they'll plant a sapling or a small tree in one of the national forests. So they have a huge program that I'm a part of. And to date, you know, I've helped plant over a million trees. I think personally, my contribution has been very small compared to that million number. But, you know, it's constantly growing. And the more orders I have, the more trees get planted, the more seed tags, you know, it's just a huge circle keeps going around.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, like I think that's pretty cool, and that's really kind of heady stuff for a college kid. You know, I mean, I can think of, you know, Scott and I are old as hell. And I know for a fact that, like, I was not thinking that far ahead when I was in college, you know? So if people are out there listening and they want a reason to buy new clothing and they say, well, I don't want to try a new brand or something like that, or what I have fits me well, like, that right there is a great sell as to why someone should go and even just check out, you know, your website. And what I like too about it, what's cool is you've got not only your golf stuff, but you've got your casual wear as well. And they can kind of flip flop back and forth, you know, on the course and kind of transition to right off the course, whether it be 19th hole or dinner or stuff like that. Like, I love that crew neck sweatshirt that just the Acorn Hills and script. Like, that's awesome. You know, I mean, that's terrific.
Well, thank you. You know, it's nice to hear that because, you know, like I said, when I modeled these things, I kind of modeled it after myself, not to be greedy or anything like that. But it's like, what did I experience living in PA? These seasons turning, you know, you can't always golf. You can't always buy polos and wear them as soon as you get them. So that, you know, I always loved sweatshirts. I always loved hoodies. I always loved, you know, awesome graphic tees and the outdoor feels and vibes. And I thought, well, I want to incorporate that to my golf too. So that's kind of where the idea for like the scent of pine and the evergreen mint. And of course, I'm wearing the carbon coffee. Is you kind of find two awesome things that really have no sort of idea of overlapping ever. But it's almost a Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift combo where it's like they cross pollinate each other. I hate to use that reference. I'm sure it's oversaturated by now. But
well, yeah, but see, this pod will come out while that's still relevant. So hopefully it's still relevant. So people,
but it's, they cross pollinate each other, and you know, it's maybe someone who's outdoorsy sees a polo and is like, well, you know, I was never much of a polo person, but I love that outdoor design, or vice versa. Someone who's a polo person, like you're saying about you like the script sweatshirt, you know, maybe somewhere else down the line you would never even think about looking at a script sweatshirt or sweatshirt in general, but since you're on my website looking at the golf, you found it, you know. And you know, that's kind of a great crossover of them both.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for anything just kind of low key like that. Plus the colors are, you know, you got like those classic Penn State colors, you know, the blue and white. Right up my alley. It's a central PA thing right there, even though I'm in Northeast PA.
The other thing I was going to point out for everyone who's listening, this stuff's all really reasonably priced.
Well, yeah.
Like for like, I'm sure it's good quality, but for good quality golf clothes, I mean, that this stuff is very reasonable.
Well, look, and
go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let me piggyback. We've got a tie-dye hoodie for sale on some website that we use. The freaking thing's like $62 or $59. Like, I don't set the price on that. I think we make like $1.50 if we sell one. No one's
I checked it out. You use Bonfire to print on demand. Yeah.
That's still going?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, that's still going. Scott, buy our merch.
You know, it's not to throw my little plug in, but I actually do custom orders too. Now, we can get into that. But
no, definitely. I mean, quite honestly, buy Nate's stuff. Our stuff's probably junk.
Well, it's funny you're saying about the quality, though, because, you know, the first 9 months, well, I'd say 7 to 8 months before I even launched the website, I spent hours each night researching suppliers and things all over the world, manufacturers, and you know, I have, I'd say 4 or 5 suppliers all over the world, some in the U.S., some in Peru, some all over. And believe it or not, I actually landed, I can't officially say it, but landed the same suppliers, FootJoy and Peter Millar. So that's the type of quality you're getting. And, you know, it's not to throw anything at those companies because they're great, but it just kind of shows you the markup that the branding has, you know. Yeah. And, you know, as long as I want to keep my margin fair, I think it's with a genuine purpose. You know, people can understand that, and they get on there, and if they saw like $100 hoodie, they're like, okay, yeah, this isn't more than, you know, kind of more than what the mission led on. But with, I think my pricing structure, they actually see like, okay, this mission is something legit. Because for example, like Four Ocean, I think it is, you're here Four Ocean.
Yeah,
they're breakers for like $20, and I mean, I don't know about you. I'm all about helping the ocean, but I don't know if I would, as a college kid, want to spend $20 on a bracelet. you know, just a regular college kid. No, I don't know what their margin is. That's nothing against Four Ocean, if you're listening. But
they're not.
You know, just kind of down the line there, I never want to gouge people. You know, I want a fair price. That's all I ask. And, you know, people have been very respectful of that. That, you know, I'm kind of this genuine, transparent guy, and I don't try to really pull anything.
$20 for a bracelet is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Unless it's made of gold or platinum.
Yeah, no, I don't think it is.
I think it's reclaimed plastic.
What's that?
I think they're reclaimed plastic, those Four Ocean ones.
I believe so. Yeah, and that's another thing about my stuff too, is all the materials, all like the packing and stuff is biodegradable. The materials are recyclable. I use, you know, recyclable polyester, cotton, spandex, anywhere that I can find recyclable fabrics. I like to use that in my clothing.
I know this isn't a clothing specific show, but, and this might be really in the weeds, how do you go about contacting one of these supply companies in different countries? Like, how do you get that info?
Well, a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, a lot of DMing people on Instagram, other brands, other companies that aren't going to show their play, like poker hand, more or less. You know, they're not going to show their hand. They don't want you to figure out where they're getting their stuff. But essentially, you're just trying to soak it all in. But what was really nice was when I came out of high school, I actually signed two NIL deals with, I don't know if you ever heard of Yada Golf.
No, you know, I don't think so.
They, well, you've probably seen their stuff like TJ Maxx. They got in a huge retailer, but they started out, oh geez, probably 2019. And now they're doing about $8 million a year, I think, in revenue. So they're getting pretty big. And then another one was Moonshine Golf. I don't know if you've heard of Moonshine Golf.
No,
they're out of Williamsport, PA, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
But so actually, Nolan Arenado, he played for the Rockies. He wore their stuff. But so it's like
that's my dude. We're Cardinals fans here, so
there's like four athletes. There's total chance. There's like me, Nolan Arenado, some other people. Like I felt like I was like on top of the world. But, you know, a lot of that, I got to see a lot of back-end things. And back then, I didn't realize what I was soaking in, that down the line that I'd actually be running my own, you know. And it's just kind of one of those things where life has a weird way of working out.
So on that note, I got to ask what maybe a simplistic question, but what's the hardest thing between, you know, being a college student and running your own business? Take college golf out of it completely. Like just the time for being a student and then the time for running the company. What's the most difficult thing about that?
I think the most difficult thing for me personally is not so much that like finding the time, but it's where do I want to put my time? You know, I feel like I'm very well managed time-wise, but you know, when it comes down to it, when push comes to shove, how much of it do I want to make myself grow up quick? And how much of it do I want to stay kind of 20 years old and enjoy these last couple of years and kind of take, you know, remember each day is a new day and I don't have to solve all the world's problems in one day and pull all nighters and do all things like that. I think I'd say that's like my hardest part personally is that reality check once in a while that, you know, sometimes I forget that I'm 20 years old doing all this and, you know, I'll have someone email me or text me and they'll be from another state or a friend I played college golf with. And they'll say, hey, I just saw your article or just saw one of my friends wearing your stuff or something like along those lines. And like, it puts it all in perspective, you know, these kids that grew up playing college golf are now texting me saying like, hey, like we see your company, we see you doing all this stuff. And it's like, we're the same age, you know? That's not to put me above them. It's just a reality check. Like, okay, Nate, like, you don't have to have it all figured out right now. And if somewhere down the line, this company, I fall flat on my face and I have to close down the company, like, I'm still going to have that college degree. I'm still going to have, you know, a great 4 years here at college.
Yeah, I think, you know,
yeah,
like you said, not putting you up on that pedestal, but, you know, look, some people are just super mature for their age. You know, I mean, some people are just old souls. And not to, you know, I'm not aging you or meaning in a disparaging way, but you definitely seem like that. I mean, you come across, you do not come across like you're 20 years old.
Appreciate you know, that. I feel like I'm 40. Just the, I looked in the mirror the other day. I texted my mom and I said, "Why did I get so old?" But I was like, freshman. If you looked at my freshman year, I came in here looked like I was full of life, had no beard or anything, and had a full head of hair. Now you fast forward to junior year, beard and like receding hairline. It's just one of them things, you know. But I just have to laugh. But it's been great, and that's, you know, another part you're asking me, is it just me running the show? Is for the most part, yes. I have no paid employees, nothing like that. But it's funny because my mom's an insane artist, and she actually does a lot of the ball marks. She made them for me when I was a kid, and now that I started back up with the company, that you know, she started doing that and putting them on. And then when I'm at college, I have two shipping locations. I have one here in my dorm that I run it out of my dorm. I was like a dealer. I'll have people knock on my door and stuff like that. And, or I'll have them ship from my house. So my mom a lot of times will help me get those ready and ship them out. So, you know, she's been a vital part of that too.
So I asked you one of the other questions. What was your favorite moment since you started the company? What was that moment when the realization hit you, like, wow, I own my own clothing company and I see it on someone, or I got mentioned somewhere. So in your opinion, what was your favorite moment?
Can I give you two?
Give us 10. It's not like we, you know, we'd stop you.
Oh, I appreciate it. So the first one, definitely, I don't know if you got to see, I was on the Weather Channel April 12th.
So I knew that I would be on the
Weather. Yeah. That was the first one. And that was with Stephanie Abrams. And, you know, at the time, like, I always knew Stephanie Abrams growing up. Like, they were always, you know, the news, Good Morning America. They say, all right, Stephanie Abrams on the Weather Channel. And then to be actually on air with her. They wanted to fly me out to set in Georgia. Back then, it was finals week, so I couldn't do it. But so I zoomed in. But that was one of those realizations, like, whoa, like, this is actually happening, you know. And when I originally got the email from the guy's name was Josh, he was the director or the producer. I originally fished it. I thought it was like a phishing email. I thought, oh man, they're like this IT department at the Mount Aloysius, like they're getting really good, like coming after my personal stuff. But I fished and it came back to me. I was like, whoa, like no way. But you know, on a smaller scale, was definitely the kind of a 9-hole round I had during the summer. Just kind of blowing off some steam after work. And I went up to my local golf course and it was closing time. And there was like me and like two other people there that I knew. And there was like a car from like Maryland. And so I go out on the course and I like shoot my rangefinder. And, I shot past the pin and I got to the next tee box and there was a guy wearing like the Babbling Brook polo. I don't know if you saw it on the website. I said to the guy I was playing with, I said, that almost looks like the shirt I designed. I said, nah, there's no way. I said, I don't know where that guy's from. And so sure enough, like I made sure to play fast so we caught him. And so we caught up to him. And sure enough, he was wearing it. And it was the guy that in the parking lot that was from Maryland. Like, holy cow, like that's had no bit, like stars aligned, you know, like there was no way that we would have met any other way. And he was just out there casually playing golf, one of my polos. And he told me his name and I remember filling the order. I remember talking to him on Instagram and things like that, but I didn't like never met him face to face. And it was one of those really cool things.
It's the golf world is absolutely insane. I know Scott and I have had those moments before where you just kick yourself and like not even famous people, right? Just like people that might be within your own little circle or just outside your own circle. And you're like, wait a minute, you've heard of that? Like, that's us, you know?
Yeah. It's awesome. And actually the college put me on a billboard down the road from here. But so that was neat too, coming back from summer break and seeing myself on a billboard. And I'm pretty sure they had like students decommit after they put that picture of me up, but you know, whatever. It's like, well, thanks guys. But No. All kidding aside, you know, it's just really cool to see. But, you know, there's just been so many different little moments down the line where, you know, someone would call our house phone, or someone I haven't heard from for a long time reached out and said, hey, we saw your article. Or, you know, I had a friend that worked at WTHA, which is the local news, and he said, hey, we've been trying to track you down for weeks to do a segment on you. And he said, I was like the only guy who knew how to get a hold of you and stuff. And that's kind of how I got on there. And it's been so like many little things that kind of popped up here and there. And every day is a new day, you know.
I think you need to talk to the coach about using Acorn Hills as the clothing spot.
Well,
for the team.
I didn't mention that we did. So this year I made the hats. So I was officially the official hat sponsor of our team. But I actually worked with Central Arkansas Women's Golf there a couple weeks ago, doing some custom stuff for them. So, but I've done some country clubs. It was funny enough, though, like just one of those little things I was talking about is my brother graduated with a guy who then moved from PA to Nebraska and started working for REI Outdoors. I don't know if you've heard of REI.
Yeah.
And when I went on the Weather Channel, he contacted me and said, hey, Nate, I can't give you official REI retailer rights and stuff. He said, but I can get you in a Nebraska store if you're interested. So as of May, I'd say in May, I'm in a Nebraska REI. So if you're ever out in Nebraska, walk in there, you'll see Acorn Hills displayed. So it's pretty neat.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yep. And then I have a local outdoor store back home that actually one of the ladies I worked with sent me a picture, and I said, hey, I was just shopping around. It's called Bob's Army and Navy. He said, I was just shopping around Bob's. And she said, I was looking at the clothes rack, and she said, this pink sweatshirt caught my eye. Then I looked close and I realized it was like your stuff. And she sent me a picture. And sure enough, there was like all displayed, a big part of the store. So that was really cool too.
Yeah, that's friggin' awesome.
Cool.
What's the end game here? I know that's looking off into the, you know, really far distance, but what's the end game?
You know, honestly, it's like, it's tough because if you would have told me a year ago, we're slowly approaching a year of me being kind of stood up. But if you would have told me a year ago, I would have been on the Weather Channel, worked with like an REI store, been in pro shops and on over 20 different podcasts and news articles and segments. And I would have said, yeah, you're nuts, you know, what a liquor did you get into or something. But going forward, knowing that I already accomplished that much, and kind of just living in the moment and knowing, like, not getting too psyched out by it, staying humble and disciplined, that, you know, there's no reason I can't grow it anymore. I have a year and a half left of college. You know, I don't know if I'll continue it after college or just continue it inside, like, almost like a side hustle and part-time job. Or, you know, if it keeps being kind of how it is and growing, no pun intended, you know, maybe make it a full-time career. So I don't know. The quick answer is I don't know, but you know, there's a lot of positives behind the I don't know answer too.
Before we switch over to the college golf aspect of this, why don't you throw out all the information on how people can order, if they want to contact you for custom designs, all that stuff. Give them all those details, and then we'll spend kind of the second half of the pod talking about you as the college golfer, not the business owner.
Yeah. So, you know, anyone out there listening, you can head over to Instagram and follow me. I'm at acorn.hills. And if you want to check out my website, you can go to www.acornhillsco.com. And, you know, if you want to reach out via DM, it's going to be me on the other end. I promise it's not going to be a bot or a paid marketer or something. It's going to be me sending you that DM back. And I promise I will get to you. It depends. Sometimes my inbox can be pretty full. But, you know, custom designs, if you're a country club out there, or, you know, you have a program or an outdoor shop or some sort of sports shop and you're interested in getting me in, you know, send me a DM or send me an email at acornhillsco@gmail.com and, you know, we'll work something out.
And we'll put all that info in the liner notes for all the promo information for the podcast. We'll put that on Instagram, tag you and all that stuff. So people will see it on our end. as well as your end. All right, Nate. So as a guest on the podcast, we are going to put you right to the fire, right off the bat. Right. And we're going to start now talking about your collegiate golf. But first, we're going to play Who the Hell Is That? Where you're going to get first crack on determining who this golfer is. Now, last week, Abraham Answer, here are the stats, Scott, because you know I have the stats. 389 people got it correct that it was Abraham Answer. 49 people got it incorrect. They had picked one of the other choices. Okay. So not that bad. That's a great ratio, you know? What is that? It's like a 6-to-1 ratio, basically, give or take. So I'm gonna give you this one now. People at home can play along, obviously, on Instagram and the Instagram story. They'll be able to check that out. Okay. So here it is, guys. Who the hell is that? And I included a picture that has his logoed hat on. So you know he's a PXG warrior.
Hold on, Dan, because you're not going to believe this.
Stop. Nate, let me tell you something. Man. Let me tell you something. That's not planned. Okay, for those listening at home that don't see it yet on Instagram, Scott has picked the same vanilla bland professional golfer that I have picked. That's what 40 plus years of friendship is right there. Scott, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
It's crazy. You know the whole thing like with like twins and they can like sense like the other one? Again, Dan and I have known each other forever, so. Yep.
All right, well, you're out, Scott. You can't play. This is all on you. The entire Instagram world is wondering if you can determine who the hell is that.
Oh, there's not a chance. I'm sorry, Instagram world. Jeez. At first glance, I thought it was Zach Johnson. I thought, oh, that's easy, Zach Johnson. And I was like, no, it's not Zach Johnson.
It could be a younger version. It looks like a younger version of Zach Johnson. That's not bad. I think Zach Johnson's our age, Scott, isn't he?
He's
where did that guy go to college at?
Where that guy went to college? No, Nate. Yeah. Here's something you got to learn, Nate. Our research goes about as in depth as copying a picture.
I got. I was gonna say if he went to Georgia Tech, I thought maybe I could. It looked like maybe it, trying to go through my mind here.
This is a guy who was playing. I'll give you a hint. He's playing mini tours up until about a year ago. He finished second. I want to say last fall in a tournament, and has been slowly rising in the ranks, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. This is all, again, off the top of my head, because we do not do research for this podcast, okay? It is off the cuff, as off the cuff can be. I believe either both parents or one parent was a professional golfer. Again, I could be making all that up, but I do think that is true. Both parents.
Scott, I think it's both.
Scott assures me are professional golfers. Can you harbor any guess? Because we're going to give the most plain names up there, too. His name is very, very plain.
I'll also tell you this. He did not go to Georgia Tech.
He didn't go to Georgia Tech.
That helps.
His name is plain. It's not Burns. That's not Sam Burns.
No, but that's actually not an awful guess. But Sam Burns is a mullet now, so that you know.
I was gonna say he probably I mean, I thought maybe it was like a younger picture, but
yeah, no, this is current. Like that's up to date. Like last tournament week picture.
Man.
Scott, do you wanna let the world know who that is?
That is professional golfer Eric Cole.
Eric
would have been not a chance.
So this,
I have another one who's someone who's maybe a little bit more well-known.
Okay.
This is my next week one.
So, okay.
Because I got 3 weeks worth.
Oh, well, you might as well give it to us since we had the same one.
Yep. So I got this guy right here.
Oh, that's Rory Sabatini.
That is not Rory Sabatini.
Come on. Who the hell is that then?
I don't know. The lighting's terrible.
That movie actor. There we go.
It's not Rory Sabatini?
That is not Rory Sabatini.
No idea.
He just went away.
No, I don't know who the hell that is. Who is it?
When I tell you who it is, you're going to be like, that's what that guy looks like now?
Can I get a hint? Oh, wait a minute. Is he the dude that used to have just the mustache? Johnson Wagner.
It is Johnson Wagner.
Wow. That's good.
Let's go. Maybe the name of this segment should be called Who's Washed Up and Who's Not? Johnson Wagner looks awful.
I like the I don't know if you can tell, but he's got like a Budweiser like rope cap on there.
That looks like a Miller High Life there.
I was gonna say I was gonna say
it's
a Marvel.
Definitely not. It's definitely it's kind of like funny like lighting, but
yeah, yeah, that's good. Hey, I'm one for one. All right, good. All right, so getting back to some real golf. Thank you for playing, Nate. You did very well, very very good.
Thanks.
You're 0 for one lifetime, but you did well. So, I you know, here's something that I just learned. Literally, I learned this about 2-3 months ago, is that the collegiate golf season is almost this wraparound season where it's all one season, but you just take off 3-4 months in the wintertime. So give us an idea of what it looks like, your fall season. And what I would love more importantly is, like, give us a day in the life of a collegiate golfer.
Well, you know, I'll break it down by hour for you because I usually break them down by hour. But so usually for me, I'm an early riser. Our coach requires about an hour, hour and a half, a short game, 3-4 times a week on top of practices. And that's just all individual. So for me, I'm an early riser. So I would go get breakfast at 6:30, dining hall. And then if it was nice, I'd throw on a golf podcast and go chip and putt at the golf course for an hour until my class at, you know, 9, so to speak. That, you know, I learned that strategy worked best for me when I was a freshman and sophomore, kind of struggling to find that little bit of a practice groove that I never had. So then, you know, I come back, go to class. Between classes, I work. So obviously not a lot of college golfers probably work their first year. But, you know, I work in marketing for an hour, 2 hours. And then I go to, like, another class, usually around, 2 to 3:45, we'll say. Grab some dinner about 4:30-ish. And then usually head to practice at 5. Or some days, you know, and we'll practice all until dark. So some nights it would be, you know, darker, closer to 8:30. And towards the end of fall, just because of living in PA and the daylight savings time, you're dealing with more 7. Pretty soon 7 becomes, 6:45, it's pitch black. So, you know, a lot of times we'll go really early if we have to do qualifying. So that's kind of the 5-day, you know, Monday through Friday. And Saturday morning, usually, just because we have, I'd say on our team, personally, we have about 12 guys who can probably break 76, 77 at any given moment. And, you know, not that we all have done it at once, but, you know, we've all shot somewhere close to even or under a couple of times during practices. So qualifying can get really, really competitive because college golf, especially when, you know, you have this big team, is 5 people travel. And it's so hard to pick and choose which guys travel and which guys not, you know. Unfortunately, I'll get into my end of my season and stuff, but unfortunately I didn't travel my last match just because I had a bad round prior and I didn't play well in qualifying. So qualifying can take up some time too. So, you know, Saturday, Sundays, we go 18, some days we'll go 36, and then we'll have a tournament on Tuesday. So really we only get about 1 to 2 days off per week. But, you know, those days off are grinding on homework assignments or spent like around the putting green or, you know, scenario shots where you go 50 yards, 60 yards out, just hit wedges. For me personally, I do not hit the ball long at all. Maybe 245 carry. And then you have, but around wedges and around, you know, short game areas and stuff, that's kind of where I make my bones. Freshman year, I had a couple rounds where I putted less than 22 putts. So my coach would keep track. So, yeah, and then but the problem was, I think the reason my putting was so sharp my freshman year was because there was so much pressure on it. You know, I would hit driver, then I would try, if it was a longer course, we had really long par fours where you're playing 460, 470. And for me, driver 240, well, I still have about, 230 in, which is crazy to think driver 3-wood on a par four. But a lot of times, I've done it. I've hit driver on par threes. But that's beside the point. That's beside what you asked, so I apologize.
I think, like, on a tangent, I think that's super interesting because everything that we're force-fed in golf is that it's getting longer and longer and longer. And I know from my own experience with my son, Lydon, you and I have talked about this, even at an early age, I just taught him speed, speed, speed. I said, we'll fix it down the line. And he's an absolute beast off the tee, but it is awesome. And I think, especially because that's the game Scott and I play, right, is 240 to 270 off the tee when it's dry in the summer. Yeah. I think it's awesome to hear that people like that can play at the next level, because there's this stigma that if you don't hit the ball over 270, like, you cannot play collegiate golf. So I think people listening to this, that's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. And, especially, like I said before, I'm a Division III golfer. Coming out of high school, I had a couple Division II offers and they took me out of state. And, for me, I just didn't want to do that. So I stayed in state Division III. I love it. And it's so funny that you say with stereotypes is the divisions themselves. You have D3, D2, D1. And obviously everyone sees D1 as this sort of untouchable, Nirvana type state where, wow, like, these guys are insane, which they are. Those big schools like Oklahoma and Texas and, Alabama and those big, big D1 schools, that's not who this I'm talking about. It's like these smaller D1 schools that are like Bucknell or I'm just trying to think of PA, like St. Francis right up the road. Is their games aren't as much off as you think they are from a Division II golfer, Division III golfer. It's just having all the pieces working at the same time. I played with guys that carry the ball around 320, 330, and might not break 80. There's a guy, so he's from Mexico, and he's on our team. The first day I played with him, he came here. He carried a ball 365, and no one at this course can do that. And I was like, this is unheard of, 365 carry. And of course it was super hot. It's perfect conditions, dry, hot, but still 365 carry is insane. And he made 7 birdies that round. And he also made 4 triples. So, you do the math and it's just crazy because someone like me, or what you guys describe as your type of game, is the amount of birdies you're going to make are kind of minimal. And, a lot of times you're just playing for that par. So if I get on a green and two putt, that's a win for me, get a par. So, my scorecards aren't the most colorful as far as birdies and circles and, but I don't have a lot of squares or more than one square. It's just mostly pars and a little bogey. And, you can get away with bogeys. It's just the doubles are what kind of drive you nuts. But, you throw all of that daily schedule on a freshman and it can be crazy tough. So that's kind of where my time management skills from high school working at 2 or 3 jobs really helped me those first couple of years. And then you throw academics on top of it and you start seeing a whole different animal of a player. You might have played great all summer long and come in and it's a little bit weird when you have an 18-hole qualifier and then a 10-page paper due at midnight. So that's what's tough. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand is when you go to college, when you play college golf and college, you tell people this, they're like, oh, that, that's awesome. That's all he's going to do. It's going to be his life. Well, yes, of course it's going to be a lot big, a huge part of your life, but also too, you're still here to play school. And, you're not fully pro yet if you're trying to get pro. Still have to complete those assignments. And as much as professors are nice and flexible about it, at the end of the day, you still have to turn in those tests and papers and, worksheets and just different things. So the school doesn't stop just because you're playing college golf or sport in general.
Yeah, you're not there majoring in golf. You're there majoring whatever you're majoring in and playing golf to, you know, like you said, to be involved and have that activity. And so.
Who was that college quarterback, I think from Ohio State, who said, "We don't play, I didn't come here to play school. That, I came here to play football."
Is that Troy Smith?
Yeah, that might be it. That might be it. Yeah, that's probably. that's the complete opposite, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at the Division I level where he was probably playing, you know, of course, but at the Division III level where, you know, I don't know the percentage of Division III athletes that end up going pro, but I'm sure it's not big enough to be talked about. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you got to face the reality that, okay, you know, obviously I'm not going to go on tour someday, so I want to be the best student I can be, but also be the best golfer and teammate and friend and, you know, have a social life and have some sort of, you know, enjoyment out of the whole thing. Because I've seen players that have all the talent in the world and then just get burned out because they don't have any sort of, you know, outlet or time management skills. And they end up just hating golf and quitting. And it wasn't golf at all. It was just the way they managed the time. So.
One of the things that I think goes by the wayside when people talk about collegiate golf is the fact, like you said, you have to qualify for every match, for every tournament, right? Like, if you're on a football team or a basketball team and you're a starter, like, you're a starter. No one's knocking you out of that position normally, especially if you're in a scholarship position. Talk a little bit about that. What's that like? You know, you've got these people who are, I'm assuming, become really good friends with, and then it becomes super cutthroat on a Tuesday or whenever you're doing your qualifying. How stressful are those rounds?
Oh, it's just funny because unfortunately we had a scenario pop up there for our championship qualifier that kind of, you know, friends were mad at each other and coaches were mad at coaches and just wasn't good just because tensions were so high. But in the moment, you know, you want to make the mat, you want to see your friend do well, but you also want to do better, you know? And you know that not all 15 of your friends can make it, including yourself. So someone's going to have to be on the outside looking in. And at that point, you just really have to embrace the idea of, you know, a team's a team, no matter how you look at it. And whoever's hot, you have to go with. And it's also, too, is, you know, if you play fantasy football or something like that or anything along those lines, comparable, I guess this is the most comparable I can think about it, is someone like Patrick Mahomes, say he has a bad game. Then you have someone like Tyrod Taylor, the Giants, have an outstanding game. And, you know, who are you going to start in the next game? And then it's like, do you start Tyrod, who's really hot, or do you start Patrick Mahomes, who's been the guy forever, but he's kind of on a cold streak? So that's just something that, you know, is going on in qualifying. So it can be super hectic, super, super hectic.
During those rounds, you know, let's say you don't qualify, you're the sixth or the seventh person or something like that. When the team is away at a tournament or a 2-day or a match or whatever, you guys still have playing privileges at the course? And what course is it that you guys play and practice at?
Yeah, so as long as, you know, some tournaments we take like 5, some tournaments we take 7, just depends on the tournament location. So the people who stay back, they'll either, one, go home if they live close enough and play back home. But our coach still requires that short game work. So, you know, even if you're having a down day on Saturday, you still got to go up to our course. It's called the Summit. It's in Crescent, PA. It's about 2 minutes from campus. It's just a right turn and a left turn.
Oh, that's nice.
It is nice. I would walk it, but the hill is pretty steep to walk up it in no way. But so it's not far at all. But it's so nice because that's also another thing, too, is in between classes, you know, if you have 45 minutes, it won't be a 10-minute drive. And by the time you get there, it's like, if you want to go play for 20 minutes or just go chip around for 20 minutes and come back and go to class, if you can do that. So that's what I love. Like, I love college golf for that reason. But yeah, it's, you know, you just try the best to your teammates, especially in that championship round, because, you know, of the guys who didn't make it this year, there were, I think, 8 or 9 combined conference championship tournaments that we've all been at, the three of us have been made. And, you know, you're on the outside looking in, you're like, well, I could have easily shot better than what they did. And you have to come back to that reality check and be like, well, you know, like, they're on my team. I need to hope they do good. You know, this is a representation of the college. And once you come to that reality check, it's not as bad as you think, missing college, like, collegiate matches. But actually, that one this past year is the first one I ever missed. So it was a little bit of, like, reality shock for me. I was like, holy cow. But that's okay. Life goes on.
Scott, I asked Nate to come up with five. I know it's a lot, but, you know, five of the best things about playing college golf. So Nate, what are some of those things? I mean, I you know, like, right off the top of my head, I'm thinking free golf. Like, that's a pretty damn good thing.
Oh yeah.
I'm loving the idea of just being able, like, in between classes to take, like, 20 minutes amazing. And go chip a little putt a little bit. Like,
yeah, the freedom to do that is above anything I ever experienced. Because, you know, even in high school, I had class all day. So at best, I was getting out there at 3:30 if I didn't have work. I would work 30 hours a week while in high school. So I barely ever, you know, made time to go practice anything. So, and that, you know, that was probably to my own demise. But, you know, definitely number one would be the freedom to have it. And then also too, number two would be the type of player you're around. Because in high school, I don't know how it is for your son's team, but in my area, I was like one of the only guys to ever kind of have success playing golf for the school, because it's very country. Not a lot of kids play, and that's nothing that against them. It's just still kind of the nature of the beast.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing with us. You know, I mean, I love my kids and the team, but they suck.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're great, you know, they're best friends, you know, but they're more interested in football and basketball, and they've been more or less just played so we had a team, because they knew, I think deep down they knew that I wanted to take it to the next level, and, you know, they were friends with me, and they didn't have anything going on at the time, so that I conned them into playing. But I think that's another thing, too, is you surround yourself with just so many better players than you, and you don't realize how many good players are out there until you go to a tournament and you see, like, ex-Yankees pitcher Mike Mussina's son Peyton fire like six birdies in a row. It's like, this is insane to watch, and it's just a humbling experience. I'd say that would be maybe number two, would be the humblingness, or just kind of the discipline you have to kind of find success. Because it's so much more than golf. It's, you know, it's a constant mental battle with that. So kind of to summarize it up would be the humbleness and the discipline of being a college golfer. You know, you have a reputation to uphold. So there's no more of, you know, getting mad. Like, obviously you get mad at bad shots and things like that, but no throwing clubs. And not that I ever threw clubs, but nothing, you know, no outburst or anything. Like, and even on campus, we're about 1,400 students. Professors know you by name, and they know what sport you play, and they know who else is on the team and stuff. So they kind of have that reputation and atmosphere surrounding your team. Like, you don't want to do anything to tarnish that. So that would be kind of my number two, is this high standard of academia and golf. So, but number three, I would say number three would probably be, I would say, the perks of being a college golfer. And when I say perks, I use that term very loosely, because you don't get special treatment or anything like that. But essentially, you know, I get access to our golf room here on campus, and I've never had, like, a practice facility that I could get access to 24/7, or, you know, the gym here on campus, or this is sort of those things that help the golf game a lot. The resources, as far as, you know, the coaches have connections with, like, mental coaches, and experience with, you know, their own coaching abilities and playing game. You know, it's just something I never had being from rural PA, where no one really played. So that would be number three.
Kids, kids love the swag that they can get. Yeah. You know, like, what do you get per year from the team?
To be honest, it's a lot lower than a lot of other teams, just because of our budget is set for 10 guys. Sadly, because they're great guys, we had a lot of kids join I'd say four or five that really have no purpose playing college golf. But they're just there. They know they're not going to qualify for any matches, and the coach doesn't put them in for any qualifiers or anything like that. But they're just there because, one, they want to be better people, and, two, they want to, you know, go to golf. And my coach has been very gracious enough to accept them on the team. But also, too, you know, these kids are borderline geniuses that came on the team, so, you know, it also helps our end-of-year GPA. And that's a little part, too. For 19 guys, we've won the GPA award in our conference for the past 3-4 years, I think. And that's like with an average of 3.8, 3.7, somewhere in wow. there. Yeah, so, you know, the golf team has held a very high standard. But about as far as our swag, like this year, we have a couple polos. I'm actually partnered with Yada Golf, and they donated custom blue camo polos for our team. And that was kind of through my NIL deal with them. And then, of course, I got the swag for the hats. But then we get things throughout the year. We'll have clothing orders and like hoodies and just various things. So it's probably less than a lot of schools, but it's just enough for me because I've always, you know, Kernersville is very, I don't want to say like there was not a lot of wealth, very middle class. So I was kind of used to that, you know, getting a polo to play in and, you know, not necessarily having to have Nike or Adidas or Under Armour name brand stuff. It's just be happy you get something. So
I mean, this might sound menial, but do you get balls, tees, gloves?
Oh, yeah.
Team, yeah, like
have,
that the pair of shoes.
Yeah, I have about four dozen of Pro V's in the back of my car that I've never played. So that's always nice. But I don't really lose too many balls. Knock on wood. Now, you get me on a towards the end of the season, I did. But so you know, I'll give them as Christmas presents or give a sleeve of balls to my dad. And that have the Mountie logo on the side of them. So, you know, people love that. So that's always nice. I always try and do something nice with it because I don't need that many balls, you know?
Yeah.
I don't need four dozen balls, but
Scott, it's nice. I'm going to ask you a question, Scott. And then I don't know if you know the answer. I'm going to have Nate school us on this. Scott, do you know how these NIL deals work?
All I know is that if you're a college athlete, you can get one of these deals and get paid, which, I mean, it's about time. But yeah. I don't know that that's how it works, but that's sort of in my head how it works.
Nate, are you allowed to talk about how, like, your specific amount or anything, but can you work, you know, like, walk us through how that comes to fruition?
Yeah, so personally, I don't get any compensation, no money, nothing like that. But, you know, coming out of high school, I was a D3 golfer. Of course, Nike's not going to sponsor me. You know, why would they sponsor a D3 golfer in the middle of PA when they have Preston Summerhazers? You know, someone is totally way well known. But I thought, you know, if I'm a small kind of minded golfer, why not go after the smaller businesses that can't go after the Preston Summerhazes, you know, or the Meyer, it was Palmer Jackson out of Notre Dame. It's like, why would not go after these smaller businesses? And that's really what I did was I went to these smaller companies like Yada Golf at the time, Moonshine Golf at the time. And I said, like, hey, you know, I don't have the skills or the pull maybe that these athletes do, but, you know, I'm very well respected in my community. And, you know, I told them that, you know, everything I do on campus and everything I plan to do on campus. And they said, you know, they liked the thing I was about. And I signed the NIL deal. And now I get quarterly or monthly shipments of free gear. And that was way before I started my own clothing company. But now, you know, I get it. I have so many clothes. It's unbelievable. I usually just give them away. But it's been neat. So nothing too firm on like NIL, but you know, I have put the pen to paper on free gear and kind of what I'll do. And a lot of times what I'll do is, you know, make a story post or make an Instagram post and say, like, you know, because people hate being sold. If you put a post out there and say, like, oh, this Yada Golf polo is amazing, go buy it. No one's going to care. Like, everyone's going to swipe. But if you just post a picture of yourself playing golf with no intention of Yada Golf or Acorn Hills, for example, you know, people are better going to respond to that, resonate with it. So, like, hey, you know, I like your shirt, or where'd you get that? Or I saw your golf post with that shirt on. Like, that's what these smaller companies want.
So is it a yearly thing? Is it throughout your entire collegiate career? How does that work?
We never came to a date on kind of when it's terminated, but I would say it'll be terminated after my collegiate career, just because of, you know, I don't play college golf anymore. But also too, you know, they really like the idea of me starting my own company. You know, a lot of like Yada Golf, if you scroll down on their page, there's a story on me, how an ambassador started his own company, was inspired by them. So, you know, it's mutually beneficial. So I don't know how long I'll be a ambassador for both companies, but it's been cool. It's been a cool ride kind of starting out, and now running my own one. It's pretty cool.
So basically like it's basically like a sponsorship.
Yeah.
You know, for all intents and purposes.
A year sponsorship. Yep.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
Scotto, any other questions before, I got one more before we get out of here, but anything on your mind?
No, just one of the things I thought was interesting, because while you were talking before, I kind of pulled up some of the results from the tournaments that you've played in. And, you know, I think it's really interesting. Like, I think like D3 golf, because it's not, like you said, it's not like the upper echelons of player. But I bet you it's a lot more interesting, because one, you're seeing a lot of these guys out there, and, you know, some rounds, you know, you got guys shooting under par. The second round, they're shooting like 86s and things like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you don't know, because like I said, a lot of these guys will be missing one part of their game. For example, I don't have the long ball, so if I'm not hitting driver well and I'm not hitting greens in two, chances are it's going to be very hard for me to break 80. Whereas these guys who are hitting the long ball, if they can't control it, you know, it's going to be hard for them to make a par, because they're going to be three putting from all over. So, you know, I played with guys who shot 70s the first day, then blew up and shot like 90, you know, the next day. Like, for example, my first round of the year, I shot 73, and I thought, oh, golf, easy, you know. And I get to the last tournament of the year, and I got the shanks mid-tournament, believe it or not. And the first round, I shot 85, and I was like, oh, man, like I haven't shot 85 in a while. I was like, okay, like, calm down, tomorrow's a new day. But the next day, I went back. Still got the shanks, had 21 shanks, I shot 98. And I was like, I haven't shot 98 since, I don't even know, seventh grade. And it, like, that was a reality check. Like, holy cow, like, it can leave like that. So I go from shooting 70, 73 to end of the year with 85, 98. So it's a tough pill to swallow, but yeah, it can happen. We're human. We're human too.
Yeah, it's
That tour, by the way, that was one of the tournaments I was looking at. The guy who came, who I guess tied for first, his first round he shot 75, second round he shot 68. So
yeah,
it just goes to show you it's you know, you don't have it one day, you have it the next. So
yeah.
So Nate, on that note, you kind of talked about how this portion of the season ended. I want to get you out of here on this. What are you going to be working on throughout the winter time into spring golf season?
You know, for me personally, so I'll graduate in the fall of 2024. So this spring season coming up, and then the fall will be my last two seasons as a probably competitive golfer ever. Because I don't plan on ever trying to do that, you know, more than this. But I think, you know, going forward, if I can make myself be the best golfer I can be, and that's through, you know, I need to accept that I'm not going to hit the ball as far as everyone else. And that's something I really accepted and embraced this year. And I think working on speed and working on, you know, just fast twitch muscles and sprints and kind of more of that high intensity training rather than just lifting weights. Because I lifted weights ever since 11th, 12th grade of high school. And, I still don't get the results near as much as I probably should as doing fast twitch workouts, sprints and swimming and, you know, just those kind of body weight exercises. So that's something I'm going to really try and focus on. And also accept too, from, you know, from the whole physical aspect of golf, is the mental aspect is, you know, it's just a game. No matter what happens, no matter what you shoot, no matter, you know, who wins the tournament and walks home, at the end of the day, it's a game that you know, three-year-olds play, and it's a game that 90-year-olds play. And I have to remember, sometimes I have to remember, you know, why I fell in love with this game. It wasn't because of going out there and destroying one of my playing partners who was my friend because of golf. It was, you know, making that friend because of golf. And for me, like, that means so much more than college golf ever will be. And college golf has such been has been such a great experience because of people like, you know, these friends that I've met from all over the country and all over the world, because we've had kids from Mexico, Malaysia, Japan. And it's like, where else on earth, for me personally, being from a small rural town, would I ever have the chance to meet these type of people? So, you know, me just embracing that and appreciating that and kind of using that as fuel for my game is to be this ultimate kind of positive mindset is would be the end goal. Because, you know, I would say the strongest part of my whole game is my mental game. I could shoot that 98 and still be smiling, or I could shoot 73 and still be smiling. I'm just happy to be out there, because if you would have told me 8-9 years ago that a self-taught kid would go play college golf, I would have said, like, you're crazy. Like, I don't have a swing coach. I don't have, you know, any of this stuff that these high-level players have. You know, I went to, it was my first ever culture shock with that was when I was in 10th grade. I signed up for a junior tour down in Pittsburgh. And, you know, I thought, well, I'll go down there. I tear it up at my home course here. I'll go down there and shoot an 80 and might win it or something. Me as a 10th grader, that was like wishful thinking. And never like ever experienced anything. So I go down to Indiana Country Club at their first event, and this kid starts out, he shot 70, and I was like, holy cow. He was swearing and throwing stuff, and I thought, wow, if I ever shoot 70 and act like that, like, I will never play golf again. And, you know, I think I shot like a smooth 86, and I was like, a nice little smooth 86, and I was like thrilled. I was just happy to be there. So I think channeling that kind of inner kid too is huge.
Yeah, I think that mindset's going to serve you very well in the future once your post-collegiate playing career is over and done with.
Yeah, yeah. It's just one of those things that, you know, you can't get too worked up about it, because a lot of people don't get the chance to even play college golf or go to college, or, you know, you can just sit there and beat yourself up why, you know, you should be grateful. So I'm not one to, you know, sit and harp on everything that went wrong on this season for sure.
Well, that's awesome. Nate, we can't thank you enough for coming on. And, you know, if you're not the poster child for, you know, hard work and having a vision and having a dream and being able to see it through to, you know, to fruition to the end, I don't know who is.
I appreciate that. And like I said, I appreciate you guys having me on here. I know, you know, you guys also have busy schedules, and, you know, you just got back from States, right? Your son played in States.
Yeah. We got back. Awesome. Yeah, last Wednesday. Yeah, awesome. Wow. Awesome experience. Very, very cool.
Yeah, that's one of those things, you know, just to look back on that for years and think, like, wow, in the moment, like, you know, you're obsessed with making a par or a birdie, but, you know, when you look back on it, it's just one of those crazy things that a lot of people don't get to experience.
Yeah. No, it's very cool. It's very cool. Are we good, Scotto?
I think so. I mean, thanks a lot, Nate.
Thank you, guys.
It was awesome. All right, Scotto. Well, first off, let's, you know, look, go to Instagram, Acorn Hills, find them online. Everything will be in the show notes. Like you said, buy some stuff from Nate. You know, he's most college kids are poor college kids. Drop $100 on buy some polos and sweatshirts and buy all of his merch.
The weather's getting colder. There's a really cool wool hat on there.
Yeah, actually, believe it or not, so I don't mean to keep taking up a lot of time, but I actually secured the same supplier as Carhartt for that. So it's Carhartt quality, guys. But, you know, that's just it. The reason I do it is I have the most fun doing this, using things I learned in college and golf and just embracing all aspects of my life and putting it out there. Like, it means the world. So,
yeah, well, and now all the listeners have the backstory, so they know where it's coming from. You know, I mean, what better article of clothing to wear than something that you know exactly where it's coming from and you have the story behind it?
Yeah, I could not agree more.
There you go. All right, Scott, I'll hit him with the tagline.
That would be get busy golfing or get busy dying.
See ya.
Be good.
Swannies is here with a fresh take. Performance-based materials are a given these days, but if you're looking for the stretchiest and most lightweight pieces that deliver a look that says I'm here for a good time, take a walk on the Swannies side.
With fabric sourced from recycled plastics and design sourced from our very own Weekend Warriors, Swannies is looking out for both our planet and those that need a little style to boost their drive another 15 yards. Premium looks from top to bottom at swannies.com. Podcast patrons, Leave the Pin Podcast is super stoked to have Gashouse Golf as their official clothing sponsor for the podcast. Go to gashousegolf.com, find them on all forms of social media at Gashouse Golf. Gashouse makes affordable, eye-catching, one-of-a-kind polos that help you stand out from the crowd. Why spend $75, $100, or even more on polos that make you look like everybody else when you can get one at an affordable price from Gashouse Golf? Hit the ball a mile and look damn good doing it.